Well, every day, things happen are reported on in the news. And we think of that, obviously, we think first of maybe those bad or tragic things that we hear about, but then there's just the typical news of the day as well. You know, the politics, the economy, the weather. And TV and social media, the internet allows us to experience and see the news even far away in real time. But the further we are away from the breaking news, and further away it is geographically or even personally, the less effect it has on us. But if something happens in our own town, in our own neighborhood, in our own family, it's different. You know, there's no way to really truly know and understand what Jesus' disciples and his friends and followers went through that Friday, that Saturday, and that Sunday. To see your friend torn from you, arrested, beaten, nailed to a cross, die, then buried, would be beyond tragic and a shock to your entire being. So to hear or read words like we do in Mark 16:8 should actually not shock us. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Over this past year especially, we've had so many different kinds of things maybe just chip away at our sense of bearing. I think I was so much in the rhythm of things because of school years, and so when our kindergarten through eighth grade closed, this year has been confusing me. I sometimes don't even know what time of the year it is. It's weird. But then also, there are those things that may have been such a source of hope in the past that have been forever shaken maybe in our lives. And it's times like this that maybe we are forced to think things through and ask ourselves questions about maybe where we're at in life and what we're building our lives on and where we put our ultimate hope and where we put our trust. But then that is what this day, Easter, is all about. Jesus' resurrection from the dead is so amazing that one almost can't even grasp what that really means. And the women needed time to collect their thoughts. So we see those words, trembling, bewilderment, fear, flight, silence. Fear is a theme that runs through all of the accounts among Jesus' followers, both before the crucifixion and after the resurrection. And the resurrection of Jesus does not mean that now all is set right, everyone now is going to live happily ever after. It's almost like when Jesus came out of the tomb, all of a sudden there was this kind of massive worldwide release of butterflies and unicorns and rainbows. It just didn't happen. The women were thoroughly shocked. They were scared. It says they were beside themselves. The news hit home in this incredible way, and they're just trying to process what just happened and what this empty tomb thing means. So we need to stop here for a moment. And see, you know, the thing is, you know, how relatable is this news story that happened thousands of years ago from us? How do we relate to this? We're so far removed from it, from a historical point of view. But you see, the news story is just as relevant for us here today as it was for them back then. And there's a reason for it. Because it speaks to what we all need here today and what they needed back then in their time. And that's hope. Hope is something that we all need. Timothy Keller, in his recent book, asks, how can we have hope in times of fear? No one can live without hope. So how do you get it? And it's not just an issue for individuals, but for society as well. See, the message of the news of Jesus Christ bodily raised from the dead is what we all need. Why? Because of what it offers. We can speak in terms of cultural hope. If we just kind of think in terms of our kind of the way we see things here in America. See, the American belief has almost always been that each generation will have it a little bit better than the previous one. And so there was this idea and thinking that we're moving forward in a certain direction of progress and improvement. But then, there's always that but then, right? But then along came. You know, you think of the period in our country between 1900 and 1950. We went through two world wars, a worldwide flu pandemic, the Great Depression. And people started thinking, well, I thought we were supposed to be able to stop this kind of stuff from happening. But we did not. So can things change? Can this change? Can there actually be a cultural revival of hope? Many thought so. You know, let's try it politically. Maybe politically we can solve our problems. Or maybe technologically we can solve our problems. But then we stop and say, well, look what politics brought us. Or look at some of the problems that technology has caused. And all of this was just kind of moving along, progressing, but along the way too, God was kind of left out. We don't really need God in the equation, because that idea only kind of holds us back and causes restrictions, and it keeps us from really maybe doing what we want to be able to do. So many believe that knowledge increased, as that kept going, you know, life would get better. But then that always assumes that human beings would have that, use that knowledge properly. We'd always use our knowledge for the good of others. But that's based on the idea of this inherent goodness of human nature. You know, that we're all born good. Can human beings be rehabilitated? We see the barriers, but the barriers are outside of ourselves the way we see it. So maybe it's the right technological knowledge. That'll fix it. Maybe it's the right kind of education, or maybe the right kind of social policy is needed to, in a sense, to control the world out there, to overcome problems like disease and war and poverty and pollution and racism or whatever it may be. But knowledge used wrongly by people with the wrong motive only seems to make things worse. And here's a sad reality. Things and people can let us down. I don't have to think a lot in my past about things that I did or said that let people down. I just didn't come through the way people may have thought I would in whatever the situation may be. But here's the thing, maybe the problem or the barrier is actually within. According to God and His Word, the problem is what is in each and every one of us. It's called sin. Original sin. Reality, as far as Scripture goes, is that we're born, in a sense, alienated from God. We're kind of born, we just kind of move through life saying, I'll make this up. I know what to do. I'm going to choose my own right or wrong for myself. You see, if this around us is all there is, and all of our answers need then to be found here or here within, I'd say, Houston, we have a problem. As one said, unless there is a God who has promised to guide history not to an end but to a new beginning, to a world in which finally death and evil are completely destroyed and justice and peace reign supreme, You know, what are we left with? See, the historical fact that Jesus bodily rose from the dead changes everything. See, when we put God into the equation, we see what he has revealed and made known to us in his word. And we see what we're really truly offered. See, our hope is full. There is life after death. And not only will we be resurrected as individuals, but the material world itself will be renewed as well. We're not destined for oblivion, but the longed-for goal of all that is good and right. It's all about restoration. And our hope is effective. It works at the life level. It's very practical. See, when we put our hope in human beings, when we put our hope in ourselves, there's just always uncertainty because it's relative. It's based on, well, depending on where that person is at for the day or whatever that thing is that we're putting our hope and trust in, it's all relative to how good that is for the moment. And when our objective hope is not any human agent but God, then hope means confidence and certainty and full assurance. See, to have hope in God is not to have uncertain, anxious wish, but to recognize that he and he alone is trustworthy. Again, the unfortunate, sad thing is, you know, things and people will let us down. See, his plan is ultimately good. It's hope in the Lord. So we need to talk about the right now. Now, I've both personally and with others have had to deal with some of these questions. It's where do you turn when the news hits home? Where do you turn when you hear that your kid's school's closing? Or where do you turn when you get that diagnosis that you weren't expecting? Where do you turn when your country is not going along in the direction you wish it would go? Where do you go when serious issues are going on within your family relationships? Where do you go? Where do you look when you're trying to deal with guilt or loss or feelings of emptiness? Where do you go? What do you do when people have let you down, when things have let you down? Where do you turn? Hope is in the Lord. See, what Jesus' resurrection offers is referred to as living hope. There is just a sense of restlessness in all of us. It's an emptiness that needs to be filled. And it's like we just continue on in this search until we feel like we've got what we need. There is a separation between ourselves and God. But Jesus came to bridge that gap, to restore what was lost, to renew and make right. His death on the cross, he took our sin upon himself and offers to us life, forgiveness, and a relationship with God. It's real hope for life now and into all eternity. See, news hit home for the women that morning at the tomb. But things change when they experience the risen Jesus Christ in person. And their fear and their bewilderment was transformed. The risen Christ is here for each and every one of you today. And tomorrow, and all the days to come. He's the answer to your prayer. He is the answer to that prayer that you've been praying in some form or fashion in your life. He's the answer. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Happy and blessed Easter to each and every one of you. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.